It's really good to be with you and see the faces that are familiar and some faces that aren't familiar. Some faces out here are very familiar. So good to see y'all. We're going to be in Zechariah 4, so you can turn there if you want. It may take you a while to find it. If you're like me, some of those minor prophets are hard to find. And you know, they're also sometimes hard to recall what they're all about. And you memorized it in Old Testament messages right before the final, right? We're going to get into Zechariah 4 a little bit. And if you don't get there now, that's okay. We'll get there in a little bit. But I want you to think about this. Jesus Christ calls us to follow him. But he never promised that it was going to be easy. He doesn't guarantee it's going to be a smooth road. He doesn't guarantee that it's always going to be exciting and fun either. You've heard about William Carey, the pioneer Baptist missionary to India. He was a shoe cobbler who was also a brilliant man who eventually translated the Bible or portions of the Bible into 44 different languages or dialects. I have trouble with the one or two languages that I work on. William Carey translated the Bible, or portions of the Bible, into 44 different languages or dialects. He was a gifted man. He was a dedicated man. But that didn't make life easy for him all the time. And it didn't mean that his ministry was always smooth sailing either. In fact, on March 11th, 1812, he experienced a heartbreaking setback when his print shop there in Serampore, India, burned down. Here's what he lost: his entire library, his completed Sanskrit dictionary. If I spent all the time to make up a dictionary of Sanskrit, I'd be pretty disappointed when it burned down. Part of his Bengal dictionary, two grammar books, and 10 translations of the Bible. The typesets that they used for 14 different languages were lost. And they were left with 5 pieces of equipment that were salvaged. And here's what Carey said as he looked on this profoundly discouraging scene. In one short evening, the labors of years are consumed. That sounds pretty dramatic, doesn't it? But really, as dramatic as that sounds, it's not that uncommon of an experience in principle for serious-minded Christians that are trying to follow the Lord. You know, how do you feel when your friend who gave up a pretty decent job to come to BJU for training or further training runs out of resources and has to drop out? Or how do you feel when that classmate with a disability plugs on year after year after year, and you pray the same prayer for her semester after semester? She's so faithful. She struggles on. You don't see a change. How do you process things like that? How do you process it? How do we process it when it hits us? I mean, a situation like this, you were sure the Lord was calling you to this path. Something scriptural, something you knew was his direction. But then opposition arises. Or you run out of resources. The odds are stacked against you. You're beset with incredible temptation. Maybe you just feel like you can't get any traction under you to start moving forward. You feel like you're in a holding pattern. Maybe you feel like you're the only one on the project or in the family who still cares, and you're not sure how long that's going to last. Or you keep witnessing to that loved one, but you're about ready to give up. Or you keep praying and praying and praying year after year, and you don't see the situation changing, and you're wondering if your prayers are ever going to make a difference. I'm really not trying to be depressing today at all. And you may not find yourself in a situation like that right now. Probably many of us do to one degree or another. The fact is, if we don't, you can bank on it, we will. We will face situations like this. It's almost certain in the will of the Lord. This is going to be a situation we find ourselves in one day if we're not in the midst of it right now. See, Jesus Christ calls us to follow him, but he doesn't say it's always going to be easy. He doesn't always say that our labors for him are going to bring quick, satisfying results, just like that. But this morning in Zechariah 4, we're going to look at a passage that was written to a guy in a situation like that. And we're going to learn a familiar truth in a fresh way, I hope. God will accomplish his plan in and through your life as you faithfully follow him. God will accomplish his plan in and through your life as you faithfully follow him. That's not something new if you've grown up hearing Christian teaching and preaching. But it's something we lose sight of sometimes. It's something sometimes we just need to get shot in the arm with again, get encouraged by. God will accomplish his plan in and through you as you faithfully follow him, even through the boring parts of life, even through the tough parts of life. And so you're in Zechariah 4. Let me give you just a little bit of background. And that background is really going to open this passage up to us. You're aware that Judah was carried away into captivity. Uprooted from their families. There were some poor, the poorest people of the land were left behind. But many, many people were carried into captivity. And then we're going to do a quick fast forward. Something amazing happens. Something God prophesied would happen. A man named Cyrus decrees that these people be allowed to return to Jerusalem and rebuild their temple and reinstitute Yahweh worship there in Jerusalem in a rebuilt temple. This is an exciting time. And a group of captives return. There's Joshua the high priest. Zechariah 3 talks about that. Boy, I wish we could talk about that, but we can't. And Zerubbabel, a civic leader. He's the subject of chapter 4. It's an exciting time. They get the foundation laid. It's a time of rejoicing. You can read about this in Ezra. And then the foundation kind of sits there and gets rained on for 16 years. Why? Well, there was opposition. Judah at this time, Jerusalem at this time, was surrounded by enemies who didn't really want to see it prosper. Judah was not what it used to be under the days of Solomon and the kings. It was small, surrounded by enemies. It didn't have the wealth it used to have. It was struggling. And there were people who did not want to see this project go forward. And if you read the book of Haggai, what you find out is not only was there opposition from outside, but the people became preoccupied with their own pursuits. They started fixing up their own houses, pursuing their own projects. Zerubbabel's trying to lead these people. He's getting squashed by outside pressure and frustrated by internal complacency. And the foundation sits there for 16 years. I don't know what Zerubbabel was doing. I don't know if he was out there, you know, by himself working on it while I'm going to work. I don't know. I don't know if he was running around the city just trying to put out fires and trying to get people on board. I'm not exactly sure. But what didn't happen was that project. What didn't go forward was what he knew the Lord had called him to do. 16 years. I think he was ready for a little bit of encouragement. Enter Zechariah and Haggai. And in Zechariah 4, The prophet of the Lord receives a vision that is intended to encourage Zerubbabel and strengthen his hands and remind him, God will accomplish his plans through you. He will do it as you faithfully follow him. Even though you feel like you're in a holding pattern, even though you're facing incredible opposition, even though you can't get people on board with you, God's not done with you, and he is going to use you. So here we are in Zechariah 4, long introduction to a short message. You ready? Let's read this together, and then we'll come back and talk about this vision. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? And Zechariah has the exact same question we have. What's this all about? All right, did you get that? Let's picture this a little bit. I'm going to try to do this. I don't have enough arms and hands to do this. But you've got a candlestick, all of gold. We'll let this microphone be the candlestick, okay? Just imagine maybe a menorah or some kind of candlestick that's holding seven lamps, all right? Microphone. All right. And there's a bowl on the top of it. Okay, can you just sort of imagine a bowl up here? Maybe it's connected. You know, for the longest time, I just imagined this bowl kind of floating up here because weird things can happen in visions and dreams, can't they? But somehow there's a bowl up here on the top of this candle, seven-pronged candlestick. And then you've got seven pipes to the seven lamps. So the bowl, you got the bowl? Imagine it right here. This is really seven lamps on this microphone, okay? There's seven pipes coming down from this bowl of oil. And now what have you got? You've got two olive trees on either side. You say, this is pretty strange. Okay, that's what Zechariah thought too, okay? The first person who ever got this vision didn't get it either, okay? He said, what are these? You've got two olive trees on either side. And if you were to look at the end of the chapter, which we're not going to get to today, it seems like there are two especially fruitful olive branches that are pouring their oil into the bowl, okay? So you've got a big bowl. That's how I imagine it. I imagine it as a big bowl filled with oil. You've got an olive tree constantly dumping oil into that bowl. You've got seven pipes down to the seven lamps. There we go. On the golden candlestick. And Zechariah says, what's that all about? And here's the answer, okay? The angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Do you think Zerubbabel felt like maybe he was about ready to burn out? That his fuel was just about to give out? Have you ever felt like that? Say, I'm going to burn out. You will if you rely on your own strength. If that's all you've got, one menorah can only hold so much oil. But the Lord says, let me show you something. Let me open your eyes of faith. And let me show you, my spirit is dumping an endless supply of his power and his grace into your life. And he will accomplish his plan through your life as you faithfully follow him. Not because you're strong, not because you're talented, not because you're smart, maybe you are, but those things all run out. Because my Holy Spirit is empowering you, and he's energizing you, and he's able to make all grace abound to you in every situation. Not by might, nor by power, But by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, and there's an endless supply. Where does oil come from? In an ancient Near Eastern culture like this, where did you get the fuel from? The olive trees. There they are, right there, dumping that supply into your life. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. And so the first thing to remember when you find yourself in a situation like this is rely on God's Spirit. Not on your own strength, not on your own brains. Rely on the Spirit of the Lord. I'm about to burn out. He's empowering you. I can't keep going. Then let him pick you up and carry you. I can't see the end. Then trust the one who sees the end from the beginning. You've got the Lord's Spirit to carry you through. And he will accomplish his plan through you as you faithfully follow him. In verse 7, the Lord assures Zerubbabel that no matter what the opposition, it'll be leveled out. Who art thou, O great mountain? O great mountain that stands in the way of the Lord's plan, that stands in the way of my servant, I'm going to level you. You're going to be a plain. Nothing is going to stop my plan from going on. Nothing. I'll flatten it. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof. Zerubbabel will put the capstone on this building. Zerubbabel's looking at a foundation that's been sitting there for 16 years. And he hears this. You're going to put the capstone on that building, and you're going to be shouting, grace, grace to it. And you know what? When he does, the Holy Spirit's going to look down, and he's going to say, that's right. That's what I've been giving you all along. You're praying for my grace on this building. That's what saw you to this point. God will accomplish his work. And it's going to be the Holy Spirit. God will accomplish this work. And he will accomplish this work as you rely on him. I don't know how many of you are taking your last class, but I think that sometimes happens in summer school. It's the only thing that stands between you and getting that degree. I don't know. I won't ask for a raise of hands or poll the teachers here. But do you know what? If the Lord has called you to finish this degree, when you get that final report card and you shout, praise the Lord, you put that capstone on your desk and say, grace, grace unto it. He's going to say, yep, that's what got you to this point. My grace. That's what will see you through. Rely on God's Spirit. But look ahead to the next verse and we learn another lesson. This is an important one. Rely on God's Spirit, but also don't ever despise the day of small things. That's where this verse comes from. Have you heard that verse before? Here's the context. Here's the passage. Verse 8, more of the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. This is just extra reaffirmation. Zerubbabel, I will see you through. Believe it or not, I will see you through. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Now this question in verse 10, for who hath despised the day of small things? Let's park on that for a second. You know what that looks like, a day of small things? Not a mountaintop experience. Nothing exciting. Nothing ground shaking. Nothing once in a lifetime. You know, most of normal life isn't like that. Most of normal life is just plugging along, being faithful day after day, doing the same things, being bored sometimes, facing the same hardships, facing the same temptations, facing the same setbacks day after day after day. That's what most of normal life is for most normal people. Days of small things. The Lord says, don't despise those days. You're working in a job where nobody notices your dedication. or you've been working away at a degree for years and years and years, or you've been serving your family in sacrificial ways for years now, and there's no way they're ever going to be able to repay you except with their love and thankfulness. You're doing something that's not earning you recognition, that's not moving you ahead on your goals, but you know it's what you're supposed to do. Those are days of small things. And every once in a while, you really start to feel the smallness of your situation, don't you? There are going to be days of small things. Maybe you're in a day of small things like that right now. But you know what it's important to remember at a time like this? God doesn't want us to despise those days. God Himself doesn't despise those days. Look right after this. This is a little funny, but we'll sort it out real quick. For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. And if you're reading a King James as I am, you notice that word with those seven is in italics. And what the translators are doing is tipping you off to the fact that they're supplying that in English to help make sense out of the Hebrew. If you've ever taken a language and done some translation, you know that sometimes you have to sort of add a word to get the sense. They were good enough to tip us off. Let me suggest that we don't read that word there. All right? That we don't read that word that was added for understanding. That we read it like this. They shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel, comma, those seven. It's like a delayed subject, I take it. Who's going to rejoice? Who's going to see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel? The seven eyes of the Lord. They're mentioned elsewhere in the book. Just think about this. God is looking throughout the whole earth with His perfect, all-seeing vision. And He sees Zerubbabel with a building tool in His hand, going to work. Or He sees you with a pencil behind your ear, going to class. Or a Scantron in your hand, taking an exam. Or a vacuum in your hand, working custodial, again, late at night. Or He sees that broom in your hand, or that textbook in your hand, or whatever. He's looking through. And you know what? When He sees that, He rejoices. He doesn't despise those days of small things. Why should we? Not by might nor by power, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, who will level out all opposition for you. And though you may be discouraged, and though you may be bored, and though you may do the same things day after day after day faithfully and start to feel like you are engaged in a lot of small things, the Lord says, don't despise that, I don't, because when I see that work that you're doing, I rejoice. You know, the Lord has a plan. He's got a plan for your life. He really does. That's not just something we say. That's something that's true. And He will accomplish His work in and through you as you faithfully serve Him. In the big times, in the exciting times, and in the small day-to-day times. That's the kind of Lord we have. That's the kind of Lord we serve. May He find us faithful until His return. Oh Lord, we thank You so much for the power of Your Spirit. Lord, keep us faithful and bring us to the day when we'll rejoice to put the capstone on the work that You're doing. Whether those be days here on earth when we finish things You've called us to, or whether that be the day in heaven when You say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, You've been faithful in small things. I will set You over other greater things. O Lord, we pray for the constant supply of Your Spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen.